A little over 2 weeks ago, a tragedy occurred that left a child dead. A mother in mourning and a family in crisis. In the early morning hours of Monday, March 29th, in Little Village, a Chicago police officer shot and killed a 13-year-old boy that we now know was Adam Toledo. And later today, the body-worn camera and pod camera and other video and audio footage, which captured the events leading up to and including the shooting, will be released to the public. After first and foremost being shown to the family and with their consent. I have seen those videos, and let me just say that they are incredibly difficult to watch, particularly at the end. I say that not only as a mother of a 13-year-old myself, but as a mayor who's deeply passionate about protecting our young people. Throughout my career, I've watched dozens of videos like this one and been to scenes of police shootings. As you recall, it was my job for many years to investigate police-involved shootings. These videos and these moments are never easy to bear witness to, regardless of the circumstances. And what I've learned is that you need to brace yourself beforehand. Let yourself feel the pain and anguish and shock of these traumatic events to avoid becoming numb as you watch. As more and more people see this footage, I want to ask again that everyone tuning in right now think first and foremost about Adam Toledo, about what his family is enduring every single day since they learned of his passing. And I also ask that each of us give them space to breathe. No parent should ever have a video broadcast widely of their child's last moments. Much less be placed in the terrible situation of losing their child in the first place. Even as our understanding of this incident continues to evolve, this remains a complicated and nuanced story. And we all must proceed with deep empathy and calm, and importantly, peace. In the 2 weeks since this tragedy occurred, I have spoken with many in the Little Village community, and we have leaders here with us today. This community has stepped up in incredible ways and wrapped their arms around this family and have been generous of time and spirit and resources, despite the fact that this community itself has experienced too much violence, too much heartache as a community in this past year alone. Community support is and will continue to be invaluable, not only as the investigation of this tragedy continues, but as we work that much harder to wrap our arms around our young people in Little Village and across our city. Two facts about this tragedy remain clear. First, in the middle of the night, this child was in contact with an adult who had a gun and then ended up being shot and killed by a police officer. And second, there are too many young people in our city, boys and girls alike, who have been left vulnerable by systemic failures that we simply must fix. These two realities urge us to reckon with and address the relationship between the police, our communities, and especially our young people. And in turn, we must deal with the cancerous role of illegal firearms that plague every Chicago community. We must continue to face and not ignore the fact that Chicago, as well as way too many parts of our country, has a long legacy of police violence and police misconduct that have left far too many residents, especially those who are black and brown, in a constant state of fear and pain. This legacy has only been exacerbated by the many challenges that have hit us as a city and individually over this past year alone. From the worst public health crisis in 100 years to the worst economic crisis we've seen in at least 75 years, and to the most civil unrest we've seen, maybe ever, but certainly in the last 50 years. Each of these challenges alone have been hard and breathtaking in scope. But all of them have come at the same time and keep reverberating across our city, making it sometimes feel easier to focus on their immediate impacts and instead of the ways in which they stem from systemic issues that simmer beneath the surface of our city, of our society, issues like generational poverty, disinvestment, and yes, racism. When left untreated, these systemic issues become malignant growths that manifest themselves in violence and a lack of opportunity. These growths then spread to our most vulnerable communities and jeopardize the health, well-being, and access to opportunity for far too many of our residents. This means that whatever path we create to recover from the immediate challenges our city faces must also reckon with and address the historic wounds that have been aggravated and brought to full relief over the course of this long, difficult last year. Adam's death is a forceful reminder that we cannot delay this effort any longer. As the investigation into the police shooting that took Adam's life continues, I urge everyone, reserve judgment until the Civilian Office of Police Accountability, that's COPA, has done its work. And I'm urging COPA to do that work thoroughly, transparently, and with all deliberate speed. In the meantime, we must also take a moment to acknowledge the reasons why Adam's death has provoked such an outcry in communities across our city. Again, we live in a city that is traumatized by a long history of police violence and misconduct. So while we don't have enough information to be the judge and jury of this particular situation, it is certainly understandable why so many of our residents are feeling an all too familiar surge of outrage and pain. And it's even clearer that trust between our communities and law enforcement is far from healed and remains badly broken. This lack of trust makes it even more difficult for many of us to wait and hear all the facts before making up our mind in tragedies about this. But again, I urge each resident who cares and loves the city, let's wait until we hear all the facts. Right now, residents all over the country are reckoning with the ongoing Derek Chauvin trial and the death of 20-year-old Dante Wright in Minnesota this past Sunday, also at the hands of police, all of which have only heightened feelings of fear, pain, and anger. And come as a blow that threatens to slow our progress in our mission to create an environment where all residents feel safe and protected in the communities that they call home. We cannot rest, and I will not rest, until all of our communities feel and experience real safety and protection. And we feel that transparency is ensured in each of these situations. We must do more. I know that. We all know that. We have to do more, starting with reforming the Chicago Police Department's policies, and particularly the foot pursuit policy. I said this in August of 2018, and here we are now in 2021. Foot pursuits put everyone involved at risk. The officers, the person being pursued, and bystanders. We have to do better, and I charge the superintendent with bringing to me a policy that recognizes how dangerous this is. We can't afford to lose more lives. As mayor, I know that we must do more to help children like Adam before they end up in encounters like this one. And I refuse to stand idly by and allow our residents' fates to be preordained simply by where they live or the circumstances into which they're born. We have to do more to make sure that every resident has a shot at fulfilling their God-given potential. And to accomplish this mission, it is critical to provide social supports to all of our residents, especially our young people who are particularly vulnerable to violence. This is, again, a truth, not up to debate. We've got to do more. That's why in my time as mayor, we've exponentially increased our investments and outreach to our young people from pre-K through college. We have taken a whole of government approach to providing a loving support around our children. And while we've been doing that, we also have been focused on achieving, making sure that they can achieve their dreams, and most importantly, be off the streets. I know this from my own personal experience in my family. And I've said this before, but it bears repeating. Sometimes the streets are every bit as seductive and powerful as a narcotic. And families do everything that they can, moms, dad, grandparents, to love and support their children. But they're fighting against powerful, powerful forces. We've got to give them the tools that they need to be able to support and keep their children from harm. And we've got to do more as a city to make that happen. There are a number of forces that met up at 2:30 in the morning on March 29th in an alley. And simply put, we failed at them. And we cannot afford to fail one more young person in our city. We must do everything we can also to eliminate the scourge of firearms from our city. Every year, the Chicago Police Department recovers more guns than New York and LA combined. Not because we have a better strategy, not because we pay more attention, but because we have too many damn guns on our streets. We've got to close the loopholes and shut down opportunities for folks in other streets to bring this lethal, deadly force into our communities. I've spoken, and I will continue to speak with the Biden administration about what the federal government must do now in this moment to close loopholes, to provide background checks, and to step up and do the things that the federal government is uniquely qualified to do. Similarly, I've spoken with the U.S. attorney about the same issues. We have to do more. We are simply awash in illegal guns flowing over our borders from neighboring cities and states. And we cannot fight this fight without federal partnership. Meaningful work that must be done now. And we have an opportunity to make that happen. And we must hold those who put the guns in the hands of our children or harm them with guns accountable for their actions. In far too many of our communities, many of our young people are witness to or fall victim to violence and are left traumatized. I have sat in too many circles, watching these young people who are beautiful and magnificent, but traumatized by the violence that they experience every day. Every day, as residents of our city, we've got to do things differently to change around their fortunes. We owe it to them to do better. This last weekend, we had a convening of the Mayor's Youth Commission, and there was a young man from Little Village who spoke beautifully, eloquently, and talked about the face that his whole life, he's walked by murals in his neighborhood with a growing list of names of people who've been felled by gun violence. We can't have that be what our young people experience in our city. It will take all of us to turn this around. Yes, I am committed. My entire administration is committed. But I also know that real power also comes from people in communities. And we have to be united in saying and using this opportunity of Adam's death as an opportunity to change our thinking, what we're doing, how we're making investments, how we're intervening to do better for our young people who are here. so that they can walk a life in their streets, in their neighborhoods, without fear, without feeling like they are prey, wherever the violence comes from, wherever it comes from. So let me stop there. I neglected to introduce the incredible people who are standing with me. Karina Ayeo Bermeo, who's the leader of Instituto del Progreso and an incredible, fearless champion. Rick Estrada, the CEO of Metropolitan Family Services, and Raul Raimondo of the Resurrection Project. If you haven't seen the statement that they put out, I commend it to you. It was beautiful. It was powerful, painful, but words that needed to be said. Karina.